Chapter 38, Food Sales.
Church-sponsored food sales not condemned. When the state fair was held in Battle Creek, our people took with them onto the grounds 3 or 4 cooking stoves and demonstrated how good meals might be prepared without the use of flesh meat. We were told that we set the best table on the ground. Whenever large gatherings are held, it is your privilege to devise plans whereby you can provide those who attend with wholesome food, and you are to make your efforts educational. Manuscript 27, 1906. A unique experience in health education. It was on the occasion of the visit of Barnum's Great Menagerie in this city on the 28th of June, 1877, that the ladies of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union struck a telling blow for temperance and reform by organizing an immense temperance restaurant to accommodate the crowds of people who gathered in from the country to visit the menagerie, thus preventing them from visiting the saloons and groggeries, where they would be exposed to temptation. The mammoth tent, capable of holding 5,000 people, used by the Michigan Conference for camp meeting purposes, was tendered for the occasion. Beneath this immense canvas temple was erected 15 or 20 tables for the accommodation of guests. By invitation, the sanitarium set a large table in the center of the great pavilion, bountifully supplied with delicious fruits, grains, and vegetables. This table formed the chief attraction and was more largely patronized than any other. Although it was more than 30 feet long, it became so crowded that it was necessary to set another about two-thirds as long, which was also thronged. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 275. Planning for a banquet. Yesterday, I had a 2 hours conversation with A and his wife, who were working at a sanitarium here. I think that the interview was a profitable one. They spoke of a plan that they have in mind, to have a banquet at the sanitarium to invite the prominent residents of St. Helena, lawyers, bankers, and ministers. They hope that thus they can do something to remove the impression that seems to be held by some in St. Helena, that this institution is a place where only imbeciles and decrepit people are cared for. Brother B, manager of the San Francisco Vegetarian Cafe, will come up to take charge of the preparation of the banquet. I saw no objection to this plan. When the light of health reform first came to us, we used on holiday occasions to take cooking stoves to the grounds where the people were assembled, and right there bake unleavened bread, gems, and rolls. And I think that good was the result of our efforts, though, of course, we had not the health food preparations that we now have. At that time, we were just beginning to learn how to live without using flesh meat. Sometimes we gave entertainments, and we took great care that all that we prepared for the table was palatable and nicely served. In fruit season, we would get blueberries and raspberries fresh from the bushes, and strawberries fresh from the vines. We made the table fare an object lesson which showed those present that our diet, even though it was in accordance with the principles of health reform, was far from being a meager one. Sometimes a short temperance lecture was given in connection with these entertainments, and thus people became acquainted with our principles of living. As far as we knew, all were pleased and all were enlightened. We always had something to say about the necessity of providing wholesome food and of preparing it simply, and yet making it so palatable and appetizing that those eating it would be satisfied. Letter 166, 1903. Peril of making financial gain in sale of food and primary object. Light was also given that in the cities there would be opportunity to do a work similar to that which we did on the Battle Creek Fairgrounds. In harmony with this light, hygienic restaurants have been established, but there is grave danger that our restaurant workers will become so imbued with the spirit of commercialism that they will fail to impart the light which the people need. Our restaurants bring us in contact with many people, but if we allow our minds to be engrossed with the thought of financial profit, we shall fail to fulfill the purpose of God. He would have us take advantage of every opportunity to present the truth, that is, to save men and women from eternal death. Manuscript 27, 1906. Christ reached the people at their dinners and feasts. Christ is our master. By definite instructions, he prepared his followers for their work before leaving them. As soon as he could talk, Christ used the talent of speech in the family circle and among friends and acquaintances in a way that was without fault. Not one impure word escaped his lips. Never did he do a wrong action, for he was the Son of God. Although he possessed a human form, yet he was without a taint of sin. When invited, as his work commenced, to a dinner or feast by Pharisee or publican, he accepted the invitation. He was accused by the religious leaders of eating with publicans, and they cast the imputation upon him that he was like them. But on such occasions, Christ controlled the table talk and gave many precious lessons. Those present listened to him, for had he not healed their sick, comforted their sorrowing, taken their children in his arms and blessed them? Publicans and sinners were drawn to him, and when he opened his lips to speak, their attention was riveted on him. Christ taught his disciples how to conduct themselves when in the company of those who were not religious and those who were. He taught them by example that when attending any public gathering, they need not want for something to say. But his conversation differed most decidedly from that which had been listened to at feasts in the past. Every word he uttered was a savor of life unto life to his hearers, and they listened with subdued attention as though desirous of hearing to a purpose. The respect shown to Christ at the feasts he attended was in marked contrast to the manner in which the scribes and Pharisees were treated, and this made them anxious. Christ gave lessons adapted to the needs of his hearers. It was when he was at a feast that he gave the parable of the great supper and showed the way in which the invitation of the king was treated. The great teacher spoke as one having authority. He instructed his disciples in regard to the duties and regulations of true social life, which are the same as the laws of the kingdom of God. Christ spoke his words with great clearness and simplicity, and with no uncertain sound. His words were as apples of gold and pictures of silver. Manuscript 19, 1899. Opportunities in large gatherings. I was given instruction that as we approach the end, there will be large gatherings in our cities, as there has recently been in St. Louis, and that preparations must be made to present the truth at these gatherings. When Christ was upon this earth, he took advantage of such opportunities. Wherever a large number of people were gathered for any purpose, his voice was heard, clear and distinct, giving his message. And as a result, after his crucifixion and ascension, thousands were converted in a day. The seed sown by Christ sank deep into hearts and germinated. And when the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the harvest was gathered in. At every large gathering, some of our ministers should be in attendance. They should work wisely to obtain a hearing and to get the light of the truth before as many as possible. We should improve every such opportunity as that presented by the St. Louis Fair. At all similar gatherings, there should be present men who God can use. Leaflets containing the light of present truth should be scattered among the people like the leaves of autumn. Too many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets would be as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. Letter 296, 1904.